another world-ending issue of Substitute Intelligence, exploring today what's natural. Water because of the PCPs. He says he doesn't want to turn into anything unnatural. He mumbles this as he tries to squeeze the last drop of Rotka from a bottle. Since we can't afford a full bottle, we keep sucking the old ones dry. We line them up along the dock, and Ripken goes from one to the next, like a bee desperate to make honey. I try too, only I keep seeing my own reflection in the bottom of each bottle. It's the genes, Ripken says. Once those PCBs get into your genes, you're a dead man. I look over the edge of the dock and see my reflection there too. not my bloodshot eyes, but dark things stirring in the water behind my face. When I ask Ripken what PCBs look like, he looks at me like I'm crazy. He doesn't answer the question. He just puts down one bottle and picks up the next. I suggest we go downtown to Panhandle. Neither of us moves. It's like the PCBs have a hold on us, waiting for the moment when Ripken reaches for that last bottle before he starts it all again. I need to know what they are, what they look like, feel like. Are they hot or cold? Will they hurt if I stick my finger in the water the way Ripken won't? And how will they change me if I do? I need to know them, so when they finally come, I will still have time to run. Okay, so we're at war with a virus. Only it's not the virus the government tells us it is, but this oppression by those we elected to control us and make us do the right thing, which means sit down, shut up, and do what we're told. I always thought criminals wore masks. You know, those bad guys in old westerns who held up stages and ripped off antique jewelry from pretty women and old men. Now everybody wears them. Only they don't cover enough of their faces to keep me from seeing how terrified they are, each one thinking if they breathe too deep or touch too much, they will die. My best friend died back in January before all this madness began. In his last conversation before going off to die of a massive heart attack, he and his neighbor talked about a sundial he had just installed on an old stoop. The neighbor was convinced the sundial was set wrong. My friend insisted otherwise. Perhaps my friend was right. Somehow the world had shifted, and now all the good guys wear masks and live in terror, created largely by the people they elected to protect them. And that from now on, we will never be able to realign our reality with the new standard, which says we must just sit down, shut up, and do what we're told. Unfortunately, the sundial I have installed in my head doesn't work that way. Neither did my best friends. I keep expecting Spock to step up into my life. The narrative squeaking out of a television speaker. Life as hippie, hermit, writer, listed in order of their occurrence. The flaws of character made obvious by the screen, the craze of millions of witnesses to each demise of a man, the embarrassment of wasted talent, years and years of looking for the key that fits only me, flaws waiting like California for the proper seismographic catastrophe to set me free from this need of importance, to live life without identity or worth or perfection. When the lines fell during the storm, there was still hope. The cold wind blowing rain over the roof, like fingers prying into our lives, tapping at the windows, doors, and cracks of floor, seeking to steal fire back from the gods, huddling up to the corners, poor, impoverished Prometheus waiting for the claws, stepping from the house the morning after to dangling power lines, the swaying carcasses of witches from Kansas.
Just a castaway, I ain't lost at sea. Oh, I said no, there's no way for the world. I said no, there's no way for the world. I hope that's all that's mine. I hope that's all that's mine. I hope that's all that's mine. That's it in a bottle.
Thank you.